I'm Richard Harris, and I'm standing in the shade of an acacia tree that's about 2,500 miles south of England. I'm in Niger, which is part of West Africa. It's also part of the area called the Sahel, which is a very dry zone just south of the Sahara Desert. And this is a place where a very small change in the atmosphere can lead to a huge change in how much rainfall people get here. And people literally live or die based on how much rainfall they get. Here in the town of Aduna, women and children gather at the well to fetch water for drinking and cooking. They're only a few hundred miles away from the prime meridian, but a world away from England in wealth and water.
Water is life. Yeah, if there's no water, there's no life.
Mohamed Larwanu says people live here on that treacherous edge. That's because this region has already had a taste of deadly climate disruption. It's the kind of trouble that global warming could bring to arid regions around the globe. Larwanu is an ecologist at the University of Niamey. He says, happily, this is a good year. He shows us a lush vegetable garden, a green oasis in this straw-yellow land.
You have tomatoes, onion, sweet potatoes, and so on, cabbages, all over.
These vegetables are nurtured by groundwater and hand watering. They add a healthy garnish to the dinner tables in Aduna, but the main food here is millet and sorghum, and the vast fields of grain are completely dependent on rains that fall during the brief wet season. If the rains don't come, there's simply not enough to eat, so many people either leave or they die. In the 1970s, 250,000 people in the Sahel did die as a result of drought. Another drought came in 1984, killing even more. We meet a woman named Hassana, who's balancing a large squash on her head. She's too young to remember the earlier droughts, but Hassana does remember the most recent, in 2005.
We suffered a lot. Relatives who left the area would send us what little money they had, but it was not enough. And those who had nobody to help would eat one day and starve the next. Sometimes a neighbor would help, but when none of that happened, the person would just stare at God. You know, when you don't eat, you are in trouble.
Hunger doesn't have to be the future here. People may also be able to adapt to a different climate, but they need to know what to expect, and that's difficult. That's because this area is right at the line where moist tropical air from the south meets the dry air of the Sahara to the north. Some forecasts say that line will move north, bringing more rain. Others say it will move south and dry out the Sahel.
I've got to see this tree. I'm interested.
Gray Tappan says, whatever happens, trees could play a big role in how these people adapt to a future climate.
This is a tamarind tree. It's you make great tamarind juice. It's a very marketable cash crop.
Tappan is a geographer with a company called SAIC. He's working with the ecologist Larwanu, and he's helping the U.S. Geological Survey do research that's designed to help people in this region avoid famine when the climate dishes up tough times.
There are a number of coping mechanisms that allow them to get through one bad year. The real kicker is if you have 2 or 3 years of drought, that's where it gets very difficult. That's where the food security, where you see problems with food security.
During the worst of the past droughts, people chopped down most of their trees and sold the wood to buy food. Since that time, Tappan says, people have started to look differently at trees as a resource they should protect to help them through dry years.
And if the crops fail, they could at least fall back on the trees, the tree products, the wood, and the fruit.
In fact, over the past few decades, villagers in many parts of Niger have planted and nurtured their trees. So today, Gray Tappan sees huge swaths of green in aerial photos that used to be bleached desert. That gives him some hope that the people here can depend on their trees no matter what happens as the planet warms. Richard Harris, NPR News.
You can get a preview of the countries and cultures we'll be visiting over the next year, as well as the global warming issues we'll explore at npr.org/climateconnections.